Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandit scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
All right, here we go. We're finishing up Fantasy Week 24. We've got 2 weeks left after this upcoming weekend. Adam Azer and Scott White. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at CBS Scott White. One of the just most normal all-American names you can get, Scott White. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't always love my name.
Me either. Same with me. We have very boring names.
I don't know. I haven't met too many Azers.
Well, first names.
Adam. Yeah. Well, the thing I like least about my name, and I insured our son, this wouldn't happen to our son, is it's each name is one syllable, like Scott White. Like I just don't feel like it flows very well. I think there needs to be at least a third syllable in there somewhere.
Good for you. Every generation gets better and better, and we're here to help you with fantasy baseball and baby naming, and not too much from yesterday, but some stuff. I've got a great Twitter poll. I'll go right to the Twitter poll. James Shields, 3 quality starts in his last 4, but a lot of walks, a lot of homers, and a terrible start in there. Your season might be on the line. Would you start James Shields at Philadelphia, the worst lineup in baseball, next week? Would you, Scott?
This cannot be a serious question.
Hey, one third of my responders said yes. 2/3 said no.
Ridiculous. You know, forget ERA for a second. You know what James Shields' FIP is on the year?
6.15.
6.13. That was very
close.
Oh my
God! All right.
I mean, he does nothing right. His name is James Shields, I guess, and then the matchup. But man, that's making too much of matchups if you're starting arguably the worst. If you're willing to go with arguably the worst pitcher in baseball, who's managed to keep a job as long as he has.
Today on the show, we will look at the 2-star pitchers for next week, which we will just be making educated guesses on. For some of them, we'll look at the most added list. We'll help you set your lineup. We'll get the sit-o meter out for some stud hitters who are struggling lately and talk about a few guys you could pick up. I feel bad about something. This segment is called I Feel Bad. I feel bad about Eduardo Rodriguez. I hope that you didn't listen to me. I thought he was a pretty safe start. Since the All-Star break and 10 starts before last night, Rodriguez had a 2.76 ERA. His last 2 starts against the Yankees were good, and he was terrible. 8 hits, 4 runs, and 2 1/3, did not strike out any batters. And he will face Baltimore next week on the road. Last time Rodriguez went to Baltimore, he had a no-hitter going and 7 strikeouts in 4 innings, and he left with an injury. So what do you make of this terrible start, and do you trust Eduardo Rodriguez next week?
I think it just shows he still has a lot of potential to hurt you. He's not a reliable pitcher at all. He's been getting better. Didn't you have some neat tidbit about him, something he changed?
Yes.
What was it?
Well, he was tipping his pitches, so he changed his positioning of his glove. He was holding his glove differently on his changeup compared to his fastball and getting hammered because of it.
Yeah.
You know
and
what
he
else?
Got hammered in this start. I don't know if there's any relation there or not. But
no, but you know what I saw in this start is pointed out by the Yankees broadcasters. He doesn't pitch inside. Either he doesn't pitch inside at all, or he doesn't pitch inside to righties. He's only hit one batter or one righty all season long. I could look that up. That I did notice. Everything was out over the plate, and the Yankees had a very good approach. So maybe that's the next step for Eduardo Rodriguez. If you're a lefty, you gotta, anybody really, but you gotta throw inside to right-handed hitters, and he did not do that. So
now
that was interesting.
That being said, him being unreliable and generally not somebody you should trust, you might be surprised how high he ranks in my two-star pitchers this week.
Okay.
But it's probably not for the reasons you expect either.
Yeah.
We'll get to that a little later.
All right, that's I Feel Bad. This is I Feel Good. And I kind of thought that I would. Mike Montgomery, 11% owned. Good start yesterday. Three runs, but only one earned. Six innings, four hits, one walk, seven strikeouts against Milwaukee. Boy, these mediocre pitchers are having great starts against the Brewers lately. If Montgomery makes another start next week, because they could go back to their five-man rotation as they get ready for the playoffs, it would be Cincinnati at home. What do you think about Mike Montgomery?
I still don't love it. I think you had a good call with the Milwaukee matchup. We kind of saw that play out with Adam Wainwright, too.
Right.
Who, his only two good starts recently. I think it's 2 out of 10 good starts, and both were against Milwaukee. And then, so of course, against the Giants yesterday, Wainwright gets hit pretty hard again. So I don't know that I'm willing to trust Montgomery. One start Montgomery, it'd have to be a pretty dire situation.
And the Brewers next week, I don't have their full schedule of pitchers, but they have the Pirates and the Reds for 3 games each. The Pirates have Stephen Brault, Chad Kuhl, and Ryan Vogelsong. The Reds have Brandon Finnegan going, and I can't see their next two pitchers. I don't know that it matters. But I don't know. You know, Chad Kuhl coming off his start yesterday, which was good. It was at the Phillies. But Kuhl also gets Pittsburgh next week. I think that's only Pittsburgh.
Milwaukee.
He gets Milwaukee next week in a one-start week. You know, is he interesting to you?
I would prefer to have him than a one-star Montgomery. Yeah, I don't think it's like, you absolutely have to get him in your lineup. Obviously, if you have higher end options, but if you have a hole in your rotation and you don't like the two-start options, which you probably won't, then I do think Kuhl's a decent one-week pickup.
All right, so I feel bad about Eduardo Rodriguez. I feel good about Mike Montgomery. We feel decent about Chad Kuhl next week. But this category is we feel bad. Yeah, we had that emailer say, hey, I heard you mention that the Diamondbacks have the best OPS against lefties. Should I start Rich Hill tonight? And we said, yeah, start Rich Hill. How do you sit Rich Hill?
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
No, this was the right call.
Four runs, 5 1/3, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts.
As long as he doesn't have a blister, Rich Hill is absolutely must start. And like with every other pitcher, it isn't always going to work out. Fortunately, he does look like he will be making two starts next week. Absolutely start him then. I mean, there's no guarantees. Of course, the blister won't flare up in the first one, and he ends up only making half a start instead of two. But let's take a glass half full.
Hey, there he is.
Glass half full. Scott White.
All right, let's do some news and notes here. And Hill is scheduled to pitch against the Giants and the Rockies at home. So any updates, Scott, on Jose Altuve or Alex Bregman?
No, not that I've seen. Did the Astros play yesterday?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, I haven't heard anything new.
I have not either. I scoured the internet via Google search. I did not see it. So sorry about that. You'll have to keep an eye on it over the weekend. Josh Donaldson returned to the lineup. He went 3 for 3 with 2 doubles and 2 walks. That was cool. Billy Hamilton is on the DL with an oblique injury, but he could come back in 5 days. Alex Reyes, hey, this is a nice little gift for fantasy owners. He's going to start on Sunday for the Cardinals. Reyes is 53% owned. Jaime Garcia moving to the bullpen. So Reyes gets San Francisco on the road. And if he gets another start after that, it would be at the Cubs next week. But what about this weekend for Reyes? What do you think? Should fantasy owners pick him up?
He really makes me nervous because he walks so many batters. I mean, his last relief appearance, 6 4 1/3 innings. I mean, he only gave up one hit, but still that's like 2 base runners an inning. That's not a good thing. I don't know. It makes me nervous. I can't imagine he'd go longer than six innings, even in a best case scenario. So, you could do a lot worse. There's absolutely upside here. He'll probably give you a lot of strikeouts if nothing else. But if you're guarding WHIP, I'd think you should stay away.
From Alex Reyes. Ruby De La Rosa will not pitch again this season. Braden Shipley will replace him in the Arizona rotation. Lorenzo Cain unlikely to return this year. No surprise. The Dodgers could activate Alex Wood soon, but he will pitch out of the bullpen. Yan Gomes could come off the DL and start today for Cleveland. Brandon Drury set an Arizona rookie record with an RBI in seven straight games. Scott White, Brandon Drury.
Look at him go.
Let's see his matchup. Scott does not have the best matchups yet. But
You know what? I've at least had a chance to look at every team's matchup, but I haven't ranked them yet. The Diamondbacks are pretty good. It's a six game week. I think only 12 teams are playing seven games this week, so a lot of six game weeks out there. And Padres and Orioles rotations. It's mostly just, do you trust them to start all six games? Has been playing much more recently. I think in the bigger rotisserie leagues, he'd make for a good sleeper, but maybe not head-to-head.
All right, that's Brandon Drury. And finally, last note, it's September 15th, or it was yesterday, and the Cubs clinched the NL Central. Pretty good year for those Cubs, Scott.
Yeah, that's kind of reminding me of those 90s Braves teams, how early they clinched, and now they just... They get to be overrested for the playoffs and probably bounced early.
Mm.
No, I'm not actually predicting that, but
no, you already predicted them to win the World Series.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but it's man, who knows?
Oh man,
I don't really understand the logic of not picking the best. If there's the team that you think is best, why not pick them to win the World Series? Right? I mean, you're just basically predicting chaos, which is, it's reasonable to predict chaos, but the whole concept of chaos is that you don't know what's going to happen. So how can you just randomly pick another team other than the best one?
Because I think the Red Sox are the best team.
Okay. If you think the Red Sox are the best team, that's fair. Is there a better team than the Cubs in the NL?
No,
absolutely not. Would you at
least
predict the Cubs to go to the World Series?
I mean, so here's the thing with the Cubs. I don't know why, but I kind of worry about their lineup a little bit. Like, Zobrist hasn't really been hitting well. Fowler, I think Fowler's somewhat hot now, but, you know, hasn't had a good second half. And Addison Russell's up and down. Javi Baez. He's basically like Bryant, who's ice cold right now. Rizzo. Uh-huh. And then, like, I don't know. If you look at the, compare the two lineups between the Red Sox and the Cubs, I know we were just talking NL there, but I don't think it's close.
That's fair. I don't know that really anybody's close to the Red Sox, but you say it's just Bryant and Rizzo.
Now.
Apologies to Nolan. Okay, aside from Nolan Arenado, those are probably the best two hitters in the National League.
Yeah, it's a good combo to have. No doubt about it. I see some vulnerabilities there. I don't know. I don't know, Scott. They should win the NL, though. They should win the NL. I can't think of a team that could really beat them. I suppose if the Nationals, maybe?
Any team could beat them.
But the NL teams don't look that good right now. You can't possibly
think... The Nationals are pretty darn good. I mean...
But with Strasburg...
Even without Strasburg.
That's the thing. With Strasburg, it would be more interesting.
Sure. It would be.
Here's the other problem for the Cubs.
Well, okay. I mean... If assuming Rich Hill is healthy, then Kershaw and Rich Hill, I mean, that might be as good of a 1-2 punch as anybody.
Well, Kershaw, so, you know he can't pitch in the playoffs, Scott.
that's true.
And neither can David Price. It's something to keep an eye on. But
yeah.
Here's that one's like more sample size than Kershaw. But the Cubs also, because baseball is stupid, don't have home field advantage.
In the World Series.
In the World Series.
Yeah.
If they get there. Okay. Hey, you know what? It's important to look your best. When you look great, you'll have more confidence, more bounce in your step. You need your own made-to-measure suit. I'm serious. I've taken advantage of this. You should do it too. A suit that fits you perfectly. A suit you can customize. An Indochino suit. I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. Indochino.com. Learn more about it now. These are amazing suits, high quality, last a long time. People pay over $800 for something like this. I've talked to people who buy fancy suits. I tell them the deal. They're amazed. We've got a deal for you at Indochino.com. Any premium suit for just $389. $389. That's up to 50% off for a premium suit. Go to Indochino.com. Enter our promo code FBT. That's how you get the deal. FBT. Again, that's FBT as in fantasy baseball today. You can do this online at Indochino.com. They also have 9 North American showrooms. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. I've been to their showroom in New York City. I've bought an Indochino suit. It's the best suit I've ever bought. It's probably the best piece of clothing I've ever bought. I'm serious. I mean, it's amazing.
Believe you.
You know, I love it, Scott. It's a great purchase. You can't pass up a deal this good. Only $389 with our offer code FBT on Indochino.com. And how about this, people? Free shipping and your money back if you're not satisfied. So get that suit. Get ready to look like $1 million. Talking about hitters from yesterday's games. CJ Cron. He had 4 straight multi-hit games with 3 homers at the end of August. Since then, he's batting .220 with a .380 slugging. 13 Ks. He's been terrible this month, Scott. Are we done with CJ Cron?
I don't think so. Here's what I discovered about CJ Cron this morning.
All right.
So since the big turnaround happened mid-June, June 15th to be exact, he's hit .315, right? Home run pace, same as last year's, basically. This year and last year, I don't think we really question the power pace he's on, but since middle June, 44 games, .315. His BABIP during that stretch, because he strikes out so infrequently, is .326, perfectly sustainable. Now, I mean, obviously the last couple weeks haven't gone well for him, but I don't think that means everything he was doing before is just out the window. I think it's just, you know, the ups and downs of baseball season. So, look, if you just happen to have a superior hitter on your roster and you want to bench Cron because he's cold, I can understand that, but I don't think you should be scouring the waiver wire for a replacement for Cron.
Okay, so CJ Cron next week in Fantasy Week 25, he gets Texas on the road,
yep.
Martin Perez, AJ Griffin, and Derek Holland, and then he's at Houston. But like I said last week, Scott, you must find this as you do the matchups. There are a lot of bad pitchers going right now. I feel like most teams have good matchups. Do you feel the same way?
Your overall point that there are a lot of bad pitchers going right now, yes. And I think with last week's matchups, it was clear. Just I couldn't even really come up with 5 genuinely bad teams with genuinely bad matchups. But this week, it's a little closer. I don't know if it's just my standard has dropped for what makes for a bad matchup for a team, or all the good pitchers that are left are clustered together. I don't know. But I got it about 50-50, teams with good matchups and teams with bad matchups. The Angels matchups are good, though.
Okay. It's good to know. So the Angels have, I got to get their full schedule. Perez, Griffin, Holland, Fiers, Pfister, Peacock, and Musgrove. They actually have a 7-game week. They're one of the, what'd you say, 12 teams that have 7 games?
I'll count it up again to be sure, but that's what I said.
Okay. Other hitters, Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt, 27 fantasy points so far this week. Pretty bad season overall. I guess if he's got nothing but righties, you could feel better about it. 11 of his 12 home runs have come against righties. Meanwhile, Ryan Healy, Scott. Ryan Healy, look at his slash line. He's slugging .869 right now. .309 batting average, 10 home runs, but it's been a big hot streak over the last 6 games for Healy. 13 for 25 with 3 home runs and 2 doubles. Are you seeing something sustainable here? Is this somebody that fantasy owners should own, Ryan Healy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's he's quite this good, but I do think he has proven he deserves to be an everyday player in the majors. First of all, he's managed to sustain his power burst from the PCL, which is not what I was expecting. It was kind of why I was kind of down on him when he first got called up. And with a better strikeout rate than you expect for somebody with his power. So I think a lot of similarities between him and Cron, actually. Though Healy is, of course, the hotter hand right now. I don't quite have the same level of trust in him long term because he hasn't done it as long. But Yeah, he's looking pretty good right now.
Okay.
Only six games next week for Oakland, though, and their matchups are not so favorable.
Yeah,
so
I see that.
I'm not saying you can't play him, but he probably will not show up in my top 10 sleeper hitters for this upcoming week.
Yeah, the A's have Peacock, Musgrove, McHugh, Hamels, Darvish, and Colby Lewis, which is just really interesting, Scott, because every pitcher that they face has a two-syllable last name. I don't know if you make anything of that.
Well, it depends on what their first name is. If their first name is more than one syllable itself, then I don't really care how many syllables their last name is.
Two of them there's Brad, Joe, Cole, and you, and there's Colin and Colby.
Mm.
You know, it's just something to keep in mind this time. You're trying to look for any edge. Pitcher syllables could be something to look at. Keon Broxton, Scott. Broxton is... he's hot again. Three home runs in his last five games.
But
21
not
games.
The way we want. He's not hot like we want him to be.
Why? Because he's not stealing?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was the whole incentive to pick him up. Hey, he can solve all your stolen base problems. And he hasn't done that. I don't even care about him hitting home runs for me. That's not what I need. I need steals.
But steals can be a little unpredictable, you know?
Well, soaking home runs.
Well, that's true. So you're not that interested in Keon Broxton?
You know, there's not really any multi-hit games happening here. Just a few scattered home runs and no steals. So I don't really see this as incentive to add Broxton, no.
Okay. They have Brault, Kuhl, Vogelsong, Finnegan, Straley, and Adelman. So again, it's not like bad matchups for the Brewers, but fairly normal this time of year.
Yeah, I have them as... neither good nor bad. I have them as middle of the road matchups. So that's what a week of middle of the road matchups looks like this time of year.
Yesterday's pitchers, Masahiro Tanaka. Okay, you're going to start him. It looks like he's solved the pitching on 4 days rest thing. Now, he didn't strike out any Red Sox yesterday. He did not have
his
best stuff.
Yeah.
But I love a guy who can have inferior stuff and go out and throw seven innings, one run, four hits at the best team and the best lineup in baseball. Tanaka's number 10 in points, number 15 in Roto, 1.06 whip, 18 home runs allowed, and 193 and two-thirds after last year he gave up 25 home runs and 154 innings. So this is impressive. Not a lot of strikeouts except for one game lately, 10 strikeouts against the Rays. Other than that, it's been like 5, 4, somewhere around there. Do you think Tanaka is a top 20 pitcher next year?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's going to be much competition for that threshold, because the competition will be the pitchers we talked about yesterday, the Porcello, J-Hap types, and certainly Tanaka has a clearer history of dominance than those pitchers do, even if his strikeout rate hasn't been so great this year.
Well, what about like a Carlos Carrasco type?
Oh yeah, that goes without saying. He'll be top 20, I think.
Well, who's better, Tanaka or Carrasco?
Carrasco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Which is no knock on Tanaka. I mean, you always start him.
Yeah. Yeah. Tanaka's impressed me this year. He's a very complete pitcher. He's cerebral. He just doesn't implode. He doesn't implode. Carrasco does sometimes. All right. J-Hap. Only three strikeouts. I think four swinging strikes, but he's facing the team that has by far the fewest strikeouts in baseball in the Angels. So this is two good ones in a row for Hap. Are you confident enough to start him? Looking at his matchup next week, he's at Seattle.
Yep, I feel fine with Hap right now.
Okay. Adam Wainwright, bad one at San Francisco. You already talked about this. He does well against the Brewers. Next week, Adam Wainwright is facing the Rockies on the road. Starter sit at Colorado.
Sounds like a no-go.
Yeah, how about that? Jared Eichhoff. Do you have faith in Jared Eichhoff?
That was a weird start yesterday for him. He allowed four home runs, but only three earned runs.
Yeah.
So, and I think he had gone three starts without allowing a single home run. So we kind of made up for lost home runs there all at once. But I don't think starting Eichhoff is ever a bad idea. It's just boring and rarely something you're looking to do in a one start week.
Yeah.
I think Chad Kuhl, with the matchup against the Brewers, I'd start him over Eichhoff, but The other one start option we were looking at earlier, who I'm forgetting, you remember?
Eduardo Rodriguez, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. It was a one-star guy. But, yeah, I think I would start Eichhoff over a two-start Eduardo Rodriguez.
James Shields?
Well, definitely over Shields.
Well, how about Hector Santiago against Detroit?
No. I understand Santiago's last four starts have been solid, but 13 strikeouts to 13 walks during that stretch. I don't think anything's changed for him.
Archie Bradley, three of his last four have been quality at San Diego this upcoming week, and he was horrible last time he pitched at San Diego, which wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, I don't really have any faith in Bradley either. There are some encouraging signs underneath. Two walks combined. Wait, am I reading this right? Two combined walks in the last four starts? I'm not sure I'm reading
this. No, I don't think basically, so. He had two last night.
Yeah, basically the walks have been better recently. They've been pretty good, which is the main thing area where he needs to improve. But the overall results haven't followed suit enough for me to buy into him yet.
All right, so cool we like against Milwaukee. Daniel Megden against Houston next week. Seven scoreless innings with six Ks against Kansas City. And his previous start wasn't bad either. Two runs in five innings with six strikeouts against Seattle. Do you trust the mustachioed Daniel Megden?
No. This was his first good start since those first four when I was telling everybody to pick him up. And then he'd been a complete disaster since then. So one start isn't enough for me to buy into him again.
You know, I got to tell you, Scott, I've gotten a lot better as I've gotten older about not letting sports affect my mood too much. You know, last night was tough, real tough.
Yeah.
Worst loss for the Yankees of the year and worst loss I can remember in a long time. And Betances, people were asking about him. I'm going to tell you that Betances basically just told me last night, every team I root for this weekend is going to lose. It's just, I know it. What happened last night was so bad that I am setting myself up for the Giants, the Hurricanes, the Yankees are going to lose at least three out of four and out of the Red Sox. It is going to be such a bad sports weekend thanks to Dellin Betances last night. He got the ball rolling downhill, or I don't know, downhill into a lake with a fire-breathing dragon that's going to destroy every team. I hate what happened last night. But anyway, Dellin Betances, what the hell am I saying? People want to know.
You sound completely superstitious. Superstitious to the extreme.
He's been bad, though, lately. He's given up seven earned runs in his last five appearances, including four last night. Two unearned runs 2 days ago against the Dodgers. He's overworked. I think it's pretty obvious. They wanted to avoid him. They couldn't. And people want to know what to do with him. Would you start Dellin Betances next week?
Yeah, I would. I would. There are not a lot of really trustworthy closers right now. We removed Casilla from the mix recently. Who knows what's going on with Wade Davis and the Royals, the Marlins situation. I just don't think there are enough alternatives. Sunwan Oh, we don't know when he's going to return again. I mean, if you happen to have a ton of depth, okay, maybe you could think about it, but I don't think most owners are in that position where they could really sit Betances. And yeah, this was his third straight day of work. Joe Girardi didn't want to use him at all. They opened the ninth inning with a couple different relievers, but then once the first base runner got on, they went to Betances and it was a disaster. So it's pretty evident he's not going to pitch tonight, Friday. And hopefully that'll be enough to get him back on track.
I hope so. Yeah, he's still throwing 100 miles per hour.
Right. So. And there was a reference in the MLB.com recap of the RPMs he was getting on the pitch, how, you know, it's still a dominant fastball. He just wasn't locating it as well.
Terrible. Way off.
I think 11 of the 21 pitches were out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
Something
way
like
off.
That. Yeah.
Well, okay. That's my sob story. Let's get the sit-o meter out. Bryce Harper, 0 to 10. 0 is no way, you idiot. 10 is sit 'em without question. 0 to 10, Bryce Harper.
Let's go two.
Okay. How about Chris Bryant batting 196 in September?
Which Chris Bryant?
What do you mean, which Chris Bryant? I didn't say Chris Davis, Chris Bryant.
You know, it was so odd hearing the name Chris Bryant in a start or sit contest. Yeah. This is
negative
dumb.
Five.
You don't sit the eventual MVP when he's healthy just because he's having a rough couple weeks. That's stupid.
All right, how about Chris Davis with a C?
He's like let's go two for him also.
How about Jose Bautista?
He did finally hit a home run the other day. Not the greatest matchups, but I think it's pretty high. I think the chances of sitting him are, what am I saying? I think you pretty much have to start him still.
What's weird right now is like, I can't even think of, oh, well, I could see you starting this red hot waiver wire pickup over Bautista. Like the most added player right now is Kevin Kiermaier. You're not starting him over Bautista. You're not starting him over Chris Davis, you know?
No. Yeah, I did a waiver wire piece yesterday, and the only other hitter I usually write about, I do a lead on one player usually and then feature six others. The lead was on Stanton, which you probably know by now whether or not he's available in your league. And the only other hitter of the six was Nick Markakis, who, as good as he's been for the last three and a half months, he's been a top 20 outfielder in points and top 30 in Roto. I still don't think you sit Bautista for him.
Well, what about Enciarte? Would you start Enciarte over him, over Bautista, over Harper?
No.
Yeah, it's just, and most of the questions I've been getting, I don't know about you, but most of the questions I've been getting, we'll read some a little bit later, have been about pitchers. So, I'm looking at the best players. Well, I'll pull this up now, I'm looking at the best players over the last 28 days. We'll see who's on the list, but let's keep going here on the sit-o-meter. All right, this one's tough now. He made it tough on us. Andrew McCutchen with a two-homer game yesterday with three home runs in his last two games. Before that, McCutchen was batting 154 over his previous 11 games. Sit-o-meter for McCutchen.
I'm going to go six on this one because I think he was pretty much a sit for me until these two games with three home runs. Obviously, that gives me some pause, but, you know, he's faked us out plenty of times already this season. There hasn't really been a sustained stretch yet where you're like, oh, okay, he's back.
Right.
There's just been a couple games here and there where you're like, maybe, and I think this is another one of those.
Well, let's take a look at the matchups because Jung Ho Kang is the second most added player, and we're talking about McCutchen here. So how are the matchups for the Pirates? Matt Garza, Junior Guerra. It's actually not, I mean, that might not be a very good start the way they've been pitching. Jimmy Nelson, Gio Gonzalez, TBA, and Cole.
AJ Cole. The TBA is probably Matt Latos.
Oh, love it. That's a three-homer game. I love it.
I actually have this matchup marked as middle of the road. I think partly because it's only a six-game week, but
yeah,
not a lot to be scared of here, that's for sure.
Okay.
Jung Ho Kang. I think I would rather start Jung Ho Kang than Andrew McCutchen. The weekend could change things if Andrew McCutchen stays hot, but that's where I am right now with those two.
The good thing for McCutchen and for Harper especially, there still are some walks there. So, like, I could see somebody having such a good team where you're sitting Bryce Harper in a categories league where OBP doesn't count. But if you're getting points for walks, he's still like 16, 17 points a week, which isn't great, but it's not that bad. All right. Will Myers, last guy on the sit-o-meter. I have Will Myers matchups here. Myers has a 7-game week. Ruby De La Rosa, Archie Bradley, Zach Greinke, Samardzija, Suarez, Bumgarner, and Cueto.
Yeah, the Padres matchups are not the best. But obviously the name Zach Greinke, I think, makes it sound worse than it actually is. Because I don't think we can really consider him a top-of-the-line pitcher right now. But Will Myers has been pretty awful since the All-Star break. I think he would probably be about a 7 for me.
Okay.
Understanding, I mean, I assume there's a general understanding that these leagues are shallow enough that you could even consider in the first place, you know?
So like, you said you wouldn't sit a guy like Bautista for Inciarte, but would you sit Will Myers for him?
Points league, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't think Inciarte's had the best week, so he may be cooling off a little.
Okay.
I might actually like Markakis a little more right now.
All right. Looking over the last 28 days, Inciarte is a top 10 hitter. I'm finding guys in here that aren't going to be pretty much universally started. So Inciarte, Asdrubal Cabrera, Matt Kemp. I don't know what his star percentage is. Kevin Kiermaier, most added player. Kendrys Morales, Adonis Garcia for the Braves. You know, Adam Eaton, I know he's owned. Eaton's always a guy that I struggle with, start or sit, because he's never great, but he's always solid. So
yeah, he's like the Eric Hosmer of outfielders.
And yeah, I mean, other than that, it's a bunch of names of people that are universally owned. Ryan Healy's probably towards like 50th. Are there any hitters that you think people need to go out and get right now? If somebody said, hey, Scott, I need a hitter. Who should I get? What would you recommend?
Well, I will have 10 recommendations up on the site before the end of the day. So I'd recommend checking that out. Off the top of my head, let's see if there, I don't think I have one off the top of my head.
All right.
No, sorry. I know that's really disappointing.
If you find some great matchups in there, let us know.
Yeah. I'll be scanning over it now while you continue to talk.
Okay. So then let's look at the most added list. Let's see who the player is.
Honestly, I'm not sure it gets better than Nick Markakis as far as that goes. Braves face 7 righties, or at least they're supposed to.
Okay, that's an answer.
That might be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly pitchers on this list. Kevin Kiermaier, Jung Ho Kang, Kendrys Morales, Brandon Drury. That's 4 of the top 16 or so players. The rest are starting pitchers. So I guess we should look at that. Jose De Leon, Ivan Nova, Seth Lugo, Taijuan Walker, 2 starts. Clayton Richard. Clayton Richard, a 1-start guy, Scott?
Yes.
No, he's a 2-start guy as of now. Giants and Rockies at home.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I will see if I can confirm that, because he did not make my list when I worked on this right before the podcast.
All right. We should talk about that, because you're going to go on CBS Sports. You're going to see a list of 2-star pitchers. Scott is here to tell you that you can't believe what you see. Things change way too much. So do you want to go through the 2-star pitchers that you have, Scott?
Yes, we can do that. The only 2-star pitcher I have for the Padres is Paul Clemens, because the Padres have a 7-game week, but also a 6-man rotation. And I think every source I saw, unless something's changed just during the time we've been on the podcast, had Clemens going Monday. So yeah, I don't think Richard's going to be a 2-start option. Do you want me to just read off the 2-start options?
Sure.
That I have?
Yeah, sure.
Johnny Cueto. I actually have them ranked right here. Johnny Cueto, Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard, Rick Porcello, Clayton Kershaw, Julio Teheran, Rich Hill, Jose Fernandez with a big asterisk because we never know when his season's going to end, Carlos Martinez, Carlos Rodon, Taijuan Walker. He's 11th. Joe Musgrove, Tyler Anderson, Robert Gazelman is 14th because things start to get really ugly now. Josh Tomlin, Eduardo Rodriguez, Matt Wisler, AJ Cole, Michael Pineda, Yordano Ventura, Jake Thompson, Stephen Brault, Braden Shipley, Brad Peacock, Edinson Volquez, Tyler Duffy, Daniel Wright, Jake Esch, and Paul Clemens. So that's only 29 when most weeks were at 40. That's a combination of it being September and there being an abundance of 6-man rotations right now. And as I mentioned earlier, fewer teams than usual with 7 games this week.
So which player that's available in leagues should people go and pick up?
This is part of the reason why, even though Taijuan Walker, and you know, he's not even that widely available anymore. Even though he's faked us out in the past and it was just 1 start, that dominant shutout against the Angels, why, if you want an extra 2-star pitcher, you had to roll the dice on him just because you're not going to find any better. He's 11th, like I said, and the top 10 are all 100% owned or pretty close.
Tyler Anderson, if I remember correctly, had a just brutal start.
He did, and yet he's 13th. And yeah. His matchups are Cardinals and Dodgers.
I hate the matchups. Dodgers, although he's a lefty, so that's good.
Lefty, right. But that one is in Colorado. So still not a good matchup because of that. And yet, I mean, if you're in a points league and you're just looking for volume, I think Anderson's fine. But Roto League, if you're guarding ERA and WHIP, it's too risky. And he's the 14th best two-star pitcher. So you really don't, like, if you've been streaming pitchers all this time, and it's gotten you to the playoffs, you know, good for you. But you're about to get your cosmic comeuppance because that's not going to work this week.
Anderson's interesting because not only are the Dodgers bad against lefties, lowest OPS in baseball, the Cardinals aren't that great either. They're 20th out of 30 teams. They kill righties. But okay. They're not great against lefties.
I knew they had a good offense overall. I didn't know it was bad against lefties. So yeah. That helps a little.
I don't know. Yeah, bad might be a stretch, but below average.
Robert Gazelman's right after Anderson. He's 14.
Look at those matchups, Scott, with Phillies and Braves.
Right, good. That's the reason he's 14, Phillies and Braves.
Yeah.
But he's still Robert Gazelman.
Do you recommend him?
6.5 strikeouts per nine in the minors. I mean, if you really need that extra start in a points league, okay. But 8 times out of 10, which is really 4 times out of 5. I got to reduce the fraction there. 4 times out of 5, I'd pass on him.
All right, so Jose De Leon is the most added pitcher. He's going to be a one-start guy because he pitches Sunday at Arizona, and he would be in line to face the Rockies at home. I mean, we'll have to see what he does on Sunday, right, De Leon?
Yeah, I would say so. One-start week. I don't think he's going to be automatic.
Okay. Yeah, but if the two-star pitchers are so bad. If De Leon does well on Sunday, it's going to be hard to bench him.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, look, you can send us your questions. We'll help you out on Twitter. If you send us questions about pitchers or even pitchers, really, please include the matchups. It helps quite a bit. We have emails to read in a second. Speaking of matchups, here are tonight's games. Okay, why don't we start with Tampa Bay and Baltimore? Chris Archer, Ubaldo Jimenez. Start Archer, sit Jimenez?
That is what I would do, yes.
Tom Kohler, start or sit at the Phillies against Adam Morgan?
I feel pretty good about him with that matchup. Yeah, I'd start him.
Luis Sessa and Clay Buchholz. Are either of these guys starts?
I don't think so.
Yeah, definitely not.
Sessa with that matchup, I think that's a deal breaker. Not
a lot of home runs.
Particularly high on him to begin with.
Michael Fulmer, Corey Kluber, how about that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, just Kluber, right?
Not Fulmer?
Oh, I thought you said, I heard something else, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think I would start both. I would. Yeah.
Okay, we got Oakland at Texas. We have Kendall Graveman coming off a brutal start against Cole Hamels, who's been pretty bad himself lately. Are you starting either Graveman or Hamels?
Hamels I am, even though it's been a rough couple starts. I think Oakland will get him back on track.
Not Graveman, though.
No, I wasn't. When he was going well, I wasn't trusting it.
Robert Stevenson and Ryan Vogelsong, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, are they both sits?
Yes.
Chris Sale and Ian Kennedy, you're starting Sale. You're starting Kennedy at home against the White Sox.
Yeah, I am. I'm not counting on a win, but it's possible he could, it's possible he could outperform Sale, at least in the runs column, and sneak away with one, and I think the matchup is fine otherwise.
We have got the worst starting pitcher in baseball on the mound tonight at the Mets. Jose Berrios and his 9.27 ERA.
You're right. You found one worse than James Shields. The Twins just keep throwing Jose Berrios out there and hoping he figures something out. And it's not working. But they're going to keep doing it. And Bartolo Colon, his opponent, is absolutely going to benefit tonight, I think. And as safely as you can predict a win for any pitcher, I'm predicting one for Cologne. So, yes, start him.
All right, we're going to start Max Scherzer, going to sit John Gant, right?
Yes.
R.A. Dickey, Jared Weaver, both sits?
R.A. Dickey, Jared Weaver, yeah, they're both sits.
Houston at Seattle, we have Colin McHugh against Felix Hernandez. Do you like these guys?
No. I think I'd lean towards starting Felix Hernandez still.
Yeah, I think if Bregman and Altuve are not in the lineup, it makes it easier for sure. San Diego, Colorado, Christian Friedrich and Tyler Chatwood, this game at Coors Field. Friedrich, you're not starting. What about Chatwood?
No, I don't think so. Coors Field is still going to be a deal breaker for me, a pitcher with no strikeout upside. No.
Okie dokie. Moving on to the Diamondbacks hosting the Dodgers. Kenta Maeda, Zach Greinke. Starter sit, Zach Greinke.
Points league, I think I'd roll the dice. But the Dodgers just throttled him last time they faced him, which was only like a week or two ago. And he just hasn't been pitching well to begin with. So if you're protecting ERA and WHIP in a roto league, I think he's more likely to do you harm than good.
All right, last one, Scott. San Francisco, St. Louis, we have Matt Moore against Luke Weaver. I believe I am starting you tonight.
Glad I let that play out.
I'm not.
Yes, I'm going to start both of them. Okay. Luke Weaver with a little more gusto than Moore.
All right. All
especially
right.
Since you just, I mean, Moore looks even better with that stat you threw out about the Cardinals against lefties, right?
Yeah, there you go. He's actually been pitching pretty damn well lately, except for the start at Colorado, Matt Moore.
Right. Which was the most recent one.
If you look at his, there was one after that. At Arizona, 7 innings, 2 runs, 11 strikeouts.
Okay, I stand corrected.
And in fact, if you look at his last 3 starts, taking away the Rockies game, 3 walks in 8 2/3. That's when he almost had the no-hitter.
Right, right.
One walk in 5 1/3 against Arizona with 7 strikeouts and 1 walk in 7 innings. So he's in a nice little groove. Good for him.
Okay, so yeah, even better than I thought. Definitely start him.
We can sing a Matt Moore song, too. We can do a little Britney. Give me more. Give me more.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that stupid? Oh, what a terrible song.
No.
Britney Spears. I mean, that's like, this is what bothers me about America. That song is as bad as it gets. I mean, nobody's going to ever listen to it again because now that it's no longer in style, we all realize, horrible song. It was a huge hit. It was on all the time because it was like a comeback Britney Spears song. Just awful. Any artist, any person in America could have auto-tuned their voice, gone in the studio, and recorded that hot piece of garbage. And that is it, Scott. That is it for my rant. Now let's read
that is a hot take.
Yeah. Dear Joni and Chachi, why in the world is David Dahl not playing? He should at least be in a platoon with Reynolds and Parra. Do you see Dahl being benched for the rest of the year? What's going on with David Dahl?
He says he's dealing with some fatigue right now, actually. He says his bat feels heavy. It's something he's going to have to get used to, he says, if he wants to be an everyday player in the majors. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get used to it in the next 2 weeks. So I would not be counting on him.
Andy wants to know if you would drop AJ Pollock for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes. Yes, no.
He could drop
so
David Dahl, if that helps.
I mean, what would your starting outfielder look like if you assuming you're not going to put Stanton or Pollock in it for a while, would it be good enough?
Bautista, JD Martinez, Charlie Blackman.
I didn't expect you to have the answer. Okay. I think you can drop Dahl.
I just made up 3 names.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Those are Andy's outfielders. Matthew needs spot starts. Matt from Boston. Actually, he says, who's the best one-start guy that might be available in free agency? All right, I'm going to do 2 things here.
Okay.
I'm going to look at the Phillies matchups.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to look at the Brewers matchups.
Okay, we already identified Chad Kuhl. That's a possibility.
Yeah. Now, wait, where's my other Brewer? All right. Sorry, this is on the spot.
I got them right here, actually.
Okay, do you have the Phillies as well?
Yeah, I have all 30 teams matchups.
All right, let's hear the pitchers.
Okay, facing the Phillies is James Shields, Chris Sale, Seth Lugo, Jacob deGrom, Noah Syndergaard, and Robert Gazelman. And then facing the Brewers is Stephen Brault, Chad Kuhl, Ryan Vogelsong, Brad Finnegan, maybe.
Brandon Finnegan.
Brandon Finnegan. I was concentrating on the maybe. Dan Straley and Tim Adelman. So I think the two that jump out is Kuhl going against the Brewers and Lugo going against the Phillies. Lugo's, I think, even more available. I would rank them Kuhl first and Lugo second.
So, okay, yeah, not bad options there. And some are. What about Straley? Did you not consider him?
I assumed he was too widely owned. If he isn't, he jumps to the front of the list, sure.
Okay. Adam in Portland is in a keeper league. It's an auction league. So, let's see. Who should I keep? Brian Dozier for... this is easy. Brian Dozier for $10 or Robinson Cano for $20?
Brian Dozier for 10 or Robinson can... Oh, yeah, Dozier. Yeah. Dozier I actually have going earlier next year.
Yeah. So is John Lackey worth starting? That's what Chris wants to know. I'm wondering if you would go with John Lackey or a two-start Marco Estrada, Yordano Ventura, Taijuan Walker, or Dan Straley. Are any of those guys other than Walker two starts? I don't remember your list.
Repeat the names, please.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't start Estrada. He's pitching like crap and he has a herniated disc.
No, I don't think he's really going to make two starts because they only have six games and they're working with a six-man rotation. So,
I wouldn't start Yordano Ventura.
Walker is definitely a two-start option. Who is the third
Straley
name?
Straley and Ventura.
Ventura is a two-start option too, but he's no good. The only one I would start over a one-start Lackey is none of them, actually. But Walker's not far behind.
Okay. Really, I thought maybe you would go with Taijuan Walker. John Lackey's start will be against St. Louis. Revenge game. I think he had an amazing start, maybe two against St. Louis earlier this year. It's been a while.
Yeah. I think because he missed that time with injury recently. And I guess he had a little rough patch before the injury too. Forgetting the timeline a little, but He's really had a great season, and he's been fine since returning from injury, so I think Lackey's back to being a must-start.
Four starts this season against the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's 1-1 with a 2.03 ERA, 31 strikeouts and 26 and two-thirds. Now, one of those games was an 11-strikeout game, but Lackey's been very good, four quality starts and four tries against the St. Louis Cardinals, so you can feel pretty good about him.
Yep.
Here's one from Adam in Chicago. Who do you like next week? Ivan Nova against the Nationals or Adam Wainwright at Colorado? And Adam adds that Wainwright is 8-1 with a 1.31 ERA against the Rockies, apparently.
In his career. I mean, for most of his career, he's been a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Not this year. So I would definitely go with the other option, who is Ivan Nova against the Nationals.
Would you start Ivan Nova over Joe Musgrove at the A's and home against the Angels, or Yordano Ventura?
Well, I definitely start him over a two-start Ventura. Over a two-start Musgrove, not in the points league.
A's and Angels.
Take the two starts for Musgrove. Yeah, especially with those matchups.
All right. From Ryan, Dellin Betances question here. I need two relievers, but I can start three. So he has Betances and Edwin Diaz, and he has Taijuan Walker and Joe Musgrove, both with two starts.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure.
Three of the five relievers and starters combined? Is that what he's...
In a points-based head-to-head league, I need two relievers, but I can start three. What would you do? Three relievers or two of them and... Okay. So, yeah, total of three, but I guess two of them have to be relievers.
Okay. Well, O's obviously sitting until we see him pitch again.
Which could be today.
Could it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's just day-to-day.
Oh, yeah. It's day-to-day because they don't have to call it anything other than day-to-day. It's Well, now I'm forgetting what the injury is.
I think it's a groin.
it's a strain something. It's something that sounds like what would normally put a player on the DL. Yeah, it's a groin strain. So,
All right.
I don't think you should count on out. So the other two relievers for sure. And then between Walker and
Musgrove.
And who was it?
Musgrove.
Sorry. I have Walker one spot ahead of Musgrove in my two-star pitcher ranking. So there you go.
This is from Chris. The championship is on the line. I can pick up one streaming pitcher option in a points league. Irvin Santana at the Mets. John Gray against the Padres. Francisco Liriano at the Angels. Seth Lugo at the Twins. Mike Leake at San Francisco. Daniel Norris at Cleveland. Chad Bettis against San Diego. And Colby Lewis against Oakland. Ugh! What do you think?
I think the first two options sounded like the best. You don't have these in the email, do you? In the notes, I mean, do you?
No, I don't. It's from Chris B. It says weekend pitching streaming options. All right, so I think we're looking at either Irvin Santana at the Mets or John Gray against the Padres or maybe yes. Seth Lugo against the Twins.
Yes, when I said the first two sounded the best, I was referring to Santana and Gray now that I have the email open. Gray's been pretty shaky recently, so even though that Padres matchup is great, I think I would go Santana.
Scott, do you see the email that says who to start? It's from Brandon from UMass.
I do see that.
Let's do it. Brandon says, I have 5 starting pitchers. I can only start 4, so sit 1. Greinke versus the Dodgers. Hamels versus Oakland. Archer at Baltimore. Felix against Houston. Fulmer at Cleveland.
Start 4, so you're starting Hamels versus Oakland, you're starting Archer at Baltimore, and then it gets hard. Greinke versus Dodgers, Hernandez versus Houston, Fulmer at Cleveland. I think of those three, the one I would sit is...
Greinke.
Yes,
Greinke. All right, Tom H., 6 spots for 9 pitchers. Who you going with? Points League. Kenta Maeda. Jason Hamill, Danny Duffy, Aaron Sanchez, Estrada, Whistler, Matt Boyd, Pineda, Martin Perez.
How many?
I think 6.
6 of these pitchers to start.
Yeah.
Okay. Maeda versus San Fran, Duffy versus Detroit. Aaron Sanchez, yeah, we'll stick with him. And then it gets pretty bad. Okay, I'll go with Jason Hamill as one of the 6, even though he's been shaky recently. And
he's at home.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's a great thing.
I think Estrada still beats out Matt Boyd for me.
Oh, so I just think he's injured. In fact, I know he's injured.
Yeah, well, he is. But
yeah, no, Boyd's.
I still think even in his lesser form, he's going to be a little more reliable than Boyd.
All right. Is that 6?
So, yeah, it was my... let me say them in order of priority here. Danny Duffy, Kenta Maeda, Aaron Sanchez, Jason Hamill, Marco Estrada. Oh, maybe it was only 5. Okay, so Matt Boyd, 6.
Okay, cool. All right, last question here. This could help a lot of people. We want some... This is from Andrew. Want some streaming pitchers for Saturday and Sunday. Now, let me just tell everybody. I know it sounds like we're totally... I'm a mess. I'm unprepared. And that's partially true. I mean, usually when I put together the notes, I put all the emails on a sheet, on the document. I send them to Scott. I haven't been doing that because it takes like 15, 20 minutes, and I want to get these podcasts out as early as I can since they've been delayed. So that's why Scott doesn't have the emails in front of him. It's my fault, and I'm sorry. So we're kind of doing the
throwing
emails.
Me under the bus, Adam.
No, it's my fault.
No, it's fine.
No, it's fine. I just like, that's why we're kind of doing it on the fly with these emails. So yep. This last email here, Scott, says, who are some streamers we could pick up on Friday and Saturday? So let's take a look at the schedule here. And maybe there's somebody that you could find that you think, might be a good streamer. Like Jameson Taillon at Cincinnati, Gio Gonzalez at Atlanta. I don't think Chris Tillman is available, but it's possible he was dropped. Miguel Gonzalez against Kansas City, the quality start machine. Brandon Finnegan against Pittsburgh. That's Paxton against Houston. If they don't have Bregman and Altuve, maybe. That's probably it. Seth Lugo against the Twins. Do you, anybody I name there that sounds good to you?
I mean, they all sounded pretty good. Did you mention Ervin Santana against the Mets? I guess we mentioned him in an earlier email.
No, I didn't, actually.
So that would be another. I don't think John Gray against the Padres is bad. It's just riskier than some of the ones you named. Did you say Helixson against the Marlins? I think that's okay.
Okay.
That's a Saturday matchup. I think we probably covered the biggest ones between the two of us.
Daniel Norris on Sunday at Cleveland?
No.
Andrew Cashner at Philadelphia?
I don't think so. No. Too risky.
Alex Reyes at the Giants?
Well, that's interesting, but like I said at the top of the show, you should expect him to hurt your whip.
And then Jose De Leon against Robbie Ray. And Robbie Ray, let me check his ownership, but he's facing the Dodgers. They can't hit
lefties. That's true.
71%.
Yeah, so he's another good one. Yep.
His last start against the Dodgers was only a couple starts ago on the 7th of September. 6 innings, 3 runs, 4 walks, 12 strikeouts. 2 hits.
Yeah.
Scott, thank you. All right, that's it for the show. I hope it was helpful. Appreciate all the emails, everybody. Keep them coming. Doing my best to read as many as we can and help you with your league. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Enjoy the weekend. See you later. Machado.